Pride, we know pride's not good, but spiritual pride is a powerful deceiver. You know, the Corinthians, remember we're in the book of Corinthians. Corinthians felt that they were so spiritual. They felt that they were so knowledgeable. You know, they felt like they couldn't do anything wrong in their own eyes. Right? We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. Stephen, can you read that? All right, so Paul starts to give the Corinthians, or Corinth, a history lesson, right? He doesn't want them to forget. I don't know why he does double negatives as far as, I don't want you to be unaware. So he doesn't want them to forget that after escaping the Egyptians, and then after receiving the Ten Commandments, Israel wandered the desert for 40 years before entering the promised land. In those 40 years, every day, I don't know if you heard this story. It's a famous story, but, you know, obviously there's other ones who are more famous. But every day there was a pillar of a cloud, and they'd follow the pillar of cloud. Then at night there was a pillar of fire, and they'd follow the pillar of fire at night. It showed them the direction to go, right? Now, Eastern writers, they aren't really hung up on chronological events, right? They're more concerned about that something happened than when it happened. Here in the West, we can be a little OCD about, oh no, this came first. No, this came first. You know, we sit there and ponder, did the chicken or the egg come first? Yes. Right?
Oh, here's another one.
Why is that even a question?
I don't
know. Why? Because they weren't born. That's why the question, right?
How do you have to have made them that way?
Right. Well, I don't know. I wasn't there. Maybe they just didn't have a belly button. That's kind of, I never thought about that. But in the East, they're just happy they have chickens and they have eggs. Like, I can have fried chicken or I have fried egg. I'm good, right? So obviously, parting the Red Sea, that came before the cloud. That's why I'm saying this is. Because Paul lists it second, it doesn't mean that, which order it came in. It's just saying that they came. You know, they passed through the sea. So that is talking about when they crossed the Red Sea, right? You all have heard that story, right? I assume that one's more famous. Both are huge miracles, right? Wouldn't you agree? Something that cannot be explained unless there is a God. You know, there's no way it could have happened unless there is a God. You know, the Israelites must have felt very spiritual, right? Being God's chosen people. Felt like, oh, look what God's doing for me. He's helping me. And he sees it, and they've seen it in these miracles. You know, they no doubt they had to see crossing the Red Sea, right? It had to be really evident. They had to see the pillar of cloud. Every day it would be there. You know, it's not a coincidence. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 2. Huh? Oh, okay. Bird. Jesse?
All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea.
All right. Baptism, right? It's a symbol. The Christian symbol, and it shows two others that were following Jesus, right? You know, it's also saying, some would say it's saying is that our old life is dead, and now we're reborn to a new life. You know, death and resurrection, following the path of Jesus. You know, the Old Testament, they have kind of like right here, they have this precursor to baptism. Because crossing the Red Sea, you know, death on both sides of them, obvious death and it could be death, they had to trust in the one true God to get through it. Right? They had to trust to go down in there. You know, it'd be kind of scary. They had to trust, and then they came out on the other side to a new life, leaving their old life behind in Egypt. Again, in the desert, you know, most of us probably lived in somewhat of a desert, right? Desert wilderness. But if you get lost in that, if you were lost, you know, there'd be easily you would die. Now, seeking the Lord to get through, they had to seek the Lord. They had to follow the Lord so that they wouldn't be lost and that they'd stay on the path. Again, going to a new life. So they had this baptism through the cloud and then through the sea. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 3 through 4. Angel? Okay, spiritual food. Now, somehow, some of them in these 40 years, they got hungry. Right? Just weird. You know, I mean, weaklings. Yeah, and it's a desert. You know, there's no food around. So God dropped bread from heaven. That'd be a crazy sight, wouldn't it? Be like, you wake up, it's like, oh, what's on the ground? Oh, it's bread. It poured last night. You know, every morning they would gather up enough manna for that day. And then the day before Sabbath, they gather up twice as much because God wouldn't do it on Sabbath because he took a day of rest. Now, also, along with getting hungry, they got thirsty. So there was this rock what went with them. And no, I don't know if it rode along with them, it just scooted along with them, or they carried it. But,
Pulled it on a wagon.
I don't know how big this rock was, but this rock, what followed them, God had water come from this rock. From a rock. So you have all these miracle things happening. They have physical food and drink that were produced spiritually, supernaturally, right? And it's not just that they were there physically, they had supernatural meanings. The food, you know, the food following the body of God, trusting in God, you know, what gave them strength. Food gives you strength. Now, water gives us life, everlasting life. And that rock, what gave that everlasting life was Jesus. He was there. He was in that rock. He was giving them water. You know, the Israelites had the same spiritual food and drink as the Corinthians. That's what Paul is telling them right there, is that he had the same ones. You know, they were following the same God. They were just alike. Now, how long did the Jews wander the wilderness?
40 years.
4 years. Why did they wander for 40 years?
Wasn't that because they
what?
Wasn't that because they disobeyed and didn't go into the promised land when they were supposed to?
Lana, do you have a different? Or?
To
You're both right. They're both right is because if you know the story, they sent in spies and they came back and like, oh, they're giants. The food's huge, but so are the people. We don't have enough trust in God to get us through. So they disobeyed God. So after the Red Sea, after the Ten Commandments, these two miracles, they didn't have enough faith in God. You know, God took them straight to the Promised Land, but he didn't have enough faith to actually go in there and go up against the people that are already living there. So God waited till all the leaders of that tribe were dead. So 40 years before they took them back to the Promised Land. None of them made it. And there was a lot of people. Yes?
Well, Caleb and...
except for... I'm sorry.
Caleb and Joshua.
Yeah, Caleb and Joshua were the exception because they came back with, yes, let's go in there. Let's obey God. So Moses didn't even make it to the Promised Land. Now there's another reason, had to do with the rock and striking it, not obeying God. So even Moses did not, you know, their main leader, he did not make it to the Promised Land. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Who hasn't read yet? Aiden? Huh?
I haven't read yet.
Oh, Aiden hasn't read yet?
Yes, he has.
No, he prayed.
Oh.
Oh, ho, 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 ho. Oh. All right, Aiden.
But with the most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness.
Nice little Hallmark moment. Right? You know, wasn't pleased with them. Like he said, wasn't pleased. They disobeyed him. He wasn't pleased with them. And then their bodies are just out in the wilderness. Even though all the signs of God being with them, they did not follow him as closely as they should have. You know, God, it's not that God wasn't with them. God was with them every step of the way. But a whole generation, that means a ton of people, you know, they estimate it was over 1 million people traveling 40 years. That's a lot of people. They did not make it to the Promised Land. You know, they knew about God, they saw miracles, but they didn't make it to the Promised Land. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6. Lana.
For all these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust over evil things as they also lusted.
All right, I think Lana mentioned this before, is that time and time again, God provided for the Israelites, but they weren't satisfied. And then they looked back. You know, they looked back at their old lives fondly, saying, you know, remember when I used to eat meat, not all this bread? Right? They complained. You know, it may have started out small about like, oh, I miss meat. You know, it might have started out small, but then it turned evil. And then they started thinking, well, maybe I should follow another God. Maybe he'll give me what I want, not what I need. You know, these things, they start off small, but the looking back, we can't look back in fondness of the old life. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 7 and 8. Stephen? The words are too small.
And do not become later.
Idlers.
As were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and
sexual sexual immorality.
As some of them did, and in one day, 23,000 fell. There's so many different words that can pronounce.
Right. You did good, Stephen. Idolatry, idol worship, and sexual immorality. Now, I don't think it was by chance, you know, Paul's telling the Corinthians this, because the Corinthians struggled with the same thing, right? They struggled with that very thing, same thing. Now, most scholars feel like Paul is talking about, there's this story, this time in the book of Numbers, that the Israelites slept around with the neighboring women of Moab. You know, the women, while they were fooling around, the women had their idols. They kept their idols, and they were influencing the men. So it was kind of like a double sin, is that because of the sexual immorality in the idol worship. Now, it says, you know, 23,000 fell. Now, they didn't scrape a knee. They didn't just, oh, I tripped. No, what does that mean? Huh?
So I had a question about the 23,000 fell. Did they, fall from God, or, they died? Okay, so the ground just...
Done. They fell.
The ground just...
Well, in a sense, you're right, though, too, is because they did both. They fell from God. They went against God. So they fell out of his graces, and they died. They got killed. They murdered, well, all these kind of things. So in Numbers, it says 24,000 died. Now, we're still sure this is what he's talking about, and we're not sure if 1,000 died another day, as Paul says, in one day, or somebody missed a number somewhere along the line. We know that Paul knows his stuff, so he knows it's right, but we're not exactly sure the difference there. There could have been leaders being different, you know, 1,000 leaders died. Huh? And it could have definitely been that. And it could have been 24, the 1,000 may not have been the Israelites. They could have been the Moabite women. So, but we still think that's what it is. You know, there's no errors. A lot of people want to tell you that there's errors in the Bible, but there's not. There's reasons for these things. In 1 Corinthians 10, 9 through 10, Jesse?
Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them are also tempted and were destroyed by serpents, nor complain, as some of them were complained and were destroyed by the destroyer.
The destroyer. So those people who gave God an ultimatum, oh well, do this for me are the ones what complain about him. You know, God should do this. You know, judgment came, and judgment had no grace. You know, in Numbers, because of their sin, God allowed serpents to go alongside the Israelites. And a lot of Israelites died, because they get bitten, poisonous venom, but God provided a way for them to get saved. You know, he told Moses to make this staff with a symbol of a serpent up there. Now, you're going, they're looking at a serpent. You know, I mean, the Israelites would not do, that's the serpent what bit me. Why am I looking at that? You know, they'd be like, this would be repulsive. Like, I don't want to look at this. But what is that symbolizing is that it's saying that they have to recognize their sin is what caused it. They had to look at that symbol to see that their sin cause that, that represents their sin. And recognizing that they sin is that they had to do that first so they could get their focus back on God. In John 3, 14 and 15, Angel.
And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life.
So the cross, right? It's actually an execution tool. Right? So it's not a pretty sight, especially back then. That's what they saw the cross as. You know, when we see a cross, I mean, we could say that we see that our sins put Jesus there. It was our sins that did that. But we need to get through that, so he saved us by doing that act. That one selfish act. You know, we need to put our trust in him, believing that he will forgive our sins. He will do that and he will save us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, Aiden.
Upon whom the ends of the age have come.
All right, what do you think that, what is that telling us? What is that meaning?
We should be careful about what our actions and watch how other people act as we mistakes.
That's good. That's good. You know, we cannot change the past, can we? You know, there's no time travel. Can't go back. We can't change the past, but we could learn from it, right? We could learn from it. We could learn things to do and things not to do, right? You know, what we do from here, that's what matters. It's not necessarily our past. It's what we do stepping forward. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Anna.
Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall.
Lest he falls. So fall would probably be fall from God. Or just killed. You know, confidence in standing firm, you know, that could be a good thing. It could be a very good thing. You know, if we first humbly go to God and ask, well, what side of the fence do you want me to be on? You know, making sure with God. You know, ignorance. What he said, and stubbornness is never a good thing. It's never a good thing. Overconfidence makes us top heavy, right? It balloons our head and makes us top heavy and easily to topple. Verse 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Huh? You could do it? Mona, do you want to do it?
No, I want to do it.
Huh? Huh?
I
really want to read it? Let's let Anna read it. So temptation has been around since what? The beginning. Since the garden, right? Since the fall of man. There was a little thing. It's hardly famous. You probably don't even know. Right? Corinthians were tempted. Can you see how the Corinthians were tempted the same way the Israelites were tempted? You know, the Israelites, there's a 1,400-year difference between them, but were they not tempted the exact same way? You know, there are no new temptations. There's no new temptations. God's not surprised. Oh, whoa.
I didn't see that coming.
I don't know how to handle this, right? God's not like that. God knows and is prepared for everything. He's seen it all. There's nothing new. We might think the things we're going through is unique, but others gone through similar things, if not harder things. And I know there's a lot of people, you see it through the internet, everything, there's a lot of people going through these really rough times. What make my downtime or my low valleys seem like a walk in the park. But it doesn't take away the fact that at that time, it feels really hard to me. Those temptations can be hard and we can struggle. But the awesome thing here on that verse is that God makes a promise to us that he is faithful. And when God gives us a promise, we could trust that fact that he is going to be faithful to us, that he will be there, he will always help us and help us through whatever we're going through. He will give us a way to escape. Now that way is always the same. Just so you know, it's always the same way. And that way is Jesus. In Psalms 46, 1 through 3. Jesse? Selah is death. You know, so it's like the underworld, hell. So everything, right? It doesn't matter the trouble. You know, we are going to go through temptations and trials. And during those tough times, remember, you guys need to remember, the best answer to every problem is Jesus. Angel, would you like to close us in prayer?